Thank you, Paul. This is a short poem of Matthew's. It's called The Birds of Canisoplatz. I can't say what book it's from because I cut it out of the Irish Times. And I didn't know where Canisoplatz was. So I looked it up today and I discovered it's a square in a district called Kreuzberg in Berlin. And Wikipedia tells me that it's famous for decorative stucco facades, cobblestone streets and courtyards of imperial apartment buildings, old time lanterns, and that it hasn't changed for 140 years. I also found a short video of it on YouTube with the soundtrack, which was normal street sound, sort of muffled conversation, plenty of trees, and you could hear the birds. So this is it, the birds of Canisoplatz. The birds sing at night in Canisoplatz. They sing of street battles fought in 1945. They sing of storms that will wreck their nests, that will blow down their trees. They say, listen to the bird on the moon, the big white bird who will fly down here when all is ruined, the houses, the restaurants, people, when the air is too hot to breathe or flying, when the bicycles all have been melted, the dog bones fused to the broken streets. The birds sing this at night in Canisoplatz, say, drink water while you still have some, go for long walks in the bucketing rain, visit the Antarctic while it's walkable on, spend time in Holland while it still exists. I hear them from the kitchen, the bathroom. I hear them when I'm back in my bed, and they keep me from falling asleep again. I know they will be quiet in the morning. Only at night can they sing in Canisoplatz if I can.
Bernadette. Next up we have Rab Urquhart.
Actually good stuff in this book. I had discovered when I went looking. There's no Matthew Sweeney in this book, which is kind of strange. But then there's numerous poets who are not in this book. This is by one of the poets who is in the book, and it's called Ireland. This is the box I wake up in. My neighbour's noises drift through its walls. Their plumbing curses and alarms as I inhale your L'Oreal scent from the pillow. You hit snooze and I lie in your arms. As that malevolent box counts down to its whinny, I monitor the progress of the people upstairs. Each inhabits a box like this one, a 120-foot flimsy box. Boxes, it seems, are never single and breed like rabbits. For these boxes you live in are formed from an older, more solid box, and thousands of boxes process through the morning at a funeral's pace, polished, plush and angular. In a box like this, in the crystalline dawn, besooted and yawning, I travel to manicured fields where herds of great enormous boxes swallow us. My own little box has a picture of you in your autumn sweater, snapped by some Swede at the foot of the Matterhorn. Tacked above the beige box, I stare into at nested window boxes and the endless tundra of empty boxes beyond my cornered encampment of numbers. These figures and cells on which so much depends. I wait for my coke to drop from the box on the mezzanine. as I look down on a spreadsheet of cubicles. Then I lunch on a frozen box. It rotates in a box for 5 to 7 minutes. Ping! After which we repair to the Beckett suite for the marketing quarterly, where we try, as per instruction, to think outside the box. Then I'm ticking boxes in triplicate back in my box, or triplicating information in a white whirring box till the boxes travel again, filling the twilight with snarls, whispers and exhaust, and return me to our box, to our walls that can't shut out upstairs television, canned laughter and talk show host, or the hoovering downstairs, blushing with headlights and streetlights, pulsing with sirens, violence and alarms, the night leans against his little box. I want the news, the Simpsons sizzling steak, but before I turn on the box, I get down on my knees and kiss your gentle, scented box.
Thank you, Ryan. Next, can we have Billy Ransom?
Thanks, Rap. I actually wrote that.
You did?
I'd forgotten I wrote it, but it's my favourite, probably my favourite Matthew Sweeney poem. Lunch in Alfama. Does anybody know where Alfama is?
No.
It's Lisbon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Down the hill from Castello de São Jorge, where the African king kept two lions in a wing of the palace, and traps were set for insolent, infidel besiegers. We sat at a table on a restaurant terrace and ordered grilled cuttlefish and sardines with a bottle of Dow White. The guitarist was playing the zither tune from The Third Man when I saw my mother advancing towards us. What on earth was she doing in Lisbon? Her hair was orange. She wore big blue glasses and thick carmine lipstick. I moved a chair for her to sit and join us, but she scuttled past, ignoring me, her eldest son. I stood and stared after her as a gang of pigeons swooped around me like Hitchcock stars, and the waiter arrived with food I no longer wanted. So I sat down and pushed it away, gulping back a whole glass of the wine.
Thanks, Billy. Next we have Bernadette Gallagher.
Why is the bin lorry stopped outside the cemetery? Why is the caravan planted in the middle of the field? Why is the fleet of buses parked for months in the yard? Why is the boat upside down on the side of the hill? The answer to all these questions is you're in Donegal. Go out to our islands, make a start with Innistrahill. Photograph the dog's tombstone in the tiny graveyard, where most of the other graves have wooden crosses. Next, try Arranmore. Observe the wrecked cars in the fields. Then have a drink in any bar and find it doesn't shut. Lastly, be good to yourself and take a boat to Ullinthori. You'll be met on the pier by the king of the island with his accordion, and he'll lead you to his favourite bar, where he'll sink brandies and pay for none of these. And he'll produce his naive paintings for you to peruse. In the sureness, you'll have no option but to purchase one that he'll sign, then serenade and toast you. After which you might want to walk out to the lighthouse under the full moon, followed by the last corncrake, and you'll feel blessed to have ended up in Donegal.
Thank you, Bernadette. Next we have Deirdre O'Brien.
I thought about what it would be like not to be able to read poetry or anything else, and so I'm trying not to read it. So I cannot read and I cannot write the words that tell my pure delight of being in this living, loving world, of having friends, of sharing plans and hopes. For the spoken word is soon forgotten, in an instant it is gone. The magic of the written word echoes like your favourite song. They say a picture paints a thousand words, but whose words are those? Now here's the twist. Mine are the only words that capture what the picture missed. This is the message on the card I bought as I watched for signals, signs. I can write in the fast river of thought as I read between the lines.
Thank you, Deirdre. And next to Jack Shorthand.
Thanks, Paul. I am going to read a Matthew Sweeney poem. I've just put a little intro. I call it Matthew Sweeney was on my list. I never got a chance to do a class with him, but I was always going to. It was going to be challenging, I was well warned. It would not be like any other class I'd done, I could see that. It would have given me something unexpected. This is my loss. I never took a chance to learn from the man who wrote some of the quirkiest stuff that I could relate to. He wrote this, The Tunnel. When they opened the manhole on the street outside our house, I wanted to climb into it. I could hear the rats calling. I could hear the smugglers manhandling kegs of ale. I could hear the engine of a midget U-boat making inroads from the sea, and behind it whispered German, what those bored submariners were saying they'd do. I knew the tunnel went on down the length of Ireland, and I could row for weeks in my homemade dinghy before I'd hit the southern coast, with my strapped-on torch getting weaker, my water and sardines running out. But already I could see the walls lightening, hear gulls at the tunnel's end, then the strange accents of Cork fishermen who stood and watched me emerge. I'm just saying how lucky we were that Matthew did take the journey, even though albeit not by tunnel, but eventually did land in Cork.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jack. Next, can we have Seamus Harrington?
Thanks, Paul. There's a poem here called Revenant. I wonder if the makers of the film The Revenant are aware of that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the naming of horses, because it's important. Horses in Mary's family was important. And that elephant is a lovely place, I know that. The naming of horses. A grey horse lost a race today by a neck. You want his name? Ballyliffin. And my home village in North Donegal is Ballyliffin. One of the names is misspelt. Is that why the grey horse lost? As horses' names go, it's tame. How about Ravenclaw or Trotting Weasel. They don't win much either. What better is The Galloping Shoe, Tom. Or even more so, I'm Singing the Blues. I hear the Queen of England names all her horses and visits them with bags of boiled sweets. She is present at their genesis too. She witnesses their begetting. Her barbershop was entered in the Gold Cup, but lost out to Creato Star. And who named him? Are there jobs for horse namers? Can I get one? Here's a few of my suggestions. Fancy Dancer, Ricochet, Madman on the Moon.
Thank you, Seamus. Next, we have Michelle Delay.
My condolences to anybody suffering the loss of a man in three downstairs poetry tonight. I've been very appalled now. I'm in a white room with white walls, ceiling and floor. I can't think of white without the sun inviting itself to the image. You're standing in the middle. You're pulling guitar strings as if the guitar gets in the way of your moving hands. It's as if the walls get in the way of your voice sounding. As if my eyes get in the way of your beauty that would otherwise pass me forever. I'm in a white room with white walls, ceiling and floor. You're lying on your bare back. Belted jeans cut you in half, leather and denim and light, and my eyes fall, contorting to the shape of you. When blood spat itself at the white wall, you put me to sleep and cleaned it mostly. It's still faintly stained, as if the white thought of bleeding. Of this, you obstructed my view with strong caring eyes until the wall forgot what red was. I'm in a white room again, with white walls, ceiling and floor. One morning the ceiling was gone, we didn't notice the great white sky behind it until more than my own movement swept my dress. We celebrated and leaned against it. It filled our cheeks. We screamed and the wind moved the sound past our ears. As if we weren't letting sound out. As if there wasn't wind. As if there was nothing there but us. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Next, can we have Patricia Walsh?
Thank you. This goes to Matthew Sweeney, who was an absolute genius. No ifs and buts about it. I'm going to bring up one of my own poems now. It's called Recurring Digit. No step of Jesus can save me now. I'll count religion seeping through decorum, following stories to no action can interpret. Lying in bulwarks purchased for posterity, leading to oppression of given experience. Champion through this work of art, operate through a given name regardless. Skies being too high to welcome the rain. Tight structure in the main, fearing the best. Careful wishes engender the opportune ego. Excavating to history, preferring others who serve their time, no aptitude for saying. Watching others' promotion to good or err. Observing surveillance in a hardy eye, risen and called blessed into another chagrin. Punishing the defaulted as cold sliding doors, it time frames prefabs until history repeated. Caught in a time frame, nursing the troubles, satisfied miscreants work for another day, postgraduate promise hardly getting over it. Walk while you still can, copying on for another day, honing level of staff to glory was once more. Forgetting education for the sake of progressing, publishing under a given name, forthcoming, staring through features not worth it anymore. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Next, we have Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Paul. I read this already some time ago, but it might be fitting to read it again. It's called realization. A well-loved poet is called upon to speak. A hush as he rises to his feet. The voice slurs, grows inarticulate, yet he is anxious to be heard. The body, stripped of bulk, looks fragile, as if it might collapse. His watchful partner, ever the stronger one, has unfamiliar lines about her eyes, takes up his train of thought to relieve his halting speech. Her bell-like tones, steady and sure, reveal the strength of their combined commitment. The lurch in my solar plexus lets me know this is what waits for all of us. One by one, old friends will topple down, horizons narrow, joys gutter out. There's little left to do but huddle in our shared humanity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Next we have Max Green.
And this is a little piece I did when I think I was 18. And that was the dinner yesterday, and because of that I read it. And the reason is I did a little sound light, and I think he actually gave a small bit of a smile at the end of it. So, is there a crowd inside there? Are there people in your head? Is there words you've left unspoken? Precious things you've left unsaid? Why would I ever banish you to that wilderness of blue? Except I needn't worry, you're with the different kinds of you. Fake man, oh many different kinds of fool I am. Fake guy, what a silly girl am I. Fake guy, rested with your charm that night. Fake man, can't be part of your plan no more. My 18-year-old angst, and I went against you to come to you. I swam against the tide to reach you. Shoot, you were short, stranded in a right bank. And my fingertips traced the chalky outline of you to say that's where you've been before you took off in your mind games. Trapped and traced and mapped each flaw and lesion. And then I whispered, but you're still here with someone. So my little word for Matthew is, roomy blue eyes, fluffy hair, and there was room in there for that bit zany wit. He lit with affection when he saw the friend, for the baleful look for the rookie poet. What the hell was that about? That's all I thought. And I made me make a better effort. And maybe he liked it. You wrote about flamingos and spices, and you scented colour with rhythm. And what you did on the Dodd River with that kingfisher. And though I knew little of you and you knew even less of me, I knew that I loved the drawness of your inner thoughts, Matthew Sweeney.
Thank you, Max. Next, could we have Jean Coutlane?
First of all, I just want to extend my sympathies to Matthew's family. I wasn't here the week that he died, so I give sympathy to Mary and Fanny. I did take a class with Matthew when I was wonderful in 2011. Actually, thinking back on it, I never write poetry on requests. I don't think I've ever written the Fargo Challenge when I was in O'Vale a couple of years back, but he has two beautiful paintings of Magritte and Paul Arago in his book Writing Poetry, and I actually wrote a poem on the Magritte painting, which is unusual, but that's fantastic genius that was his process. I found this poem in his book, The Night Ghost, which I have, me and Benji. This is hilarious. I was chuckling to myself earlier reading this, so this is me and Benji from Night Ghost, for anybody who wants to read it. Me and Benji, my teddy bear, went to bed to sleep. What else would we do? We sleep. We couldn't, however. The noise was atrocious. Shouting, laughing, coughing and whooping. Just imagine if that was us, I whispered in Benji's ear. Guzzling wine, beer, making one hell of a fuss. What are we going to do? I looked into Benji's eyes. Benji's round glass eyes. Benji, it has to be you, I said, throw him out. Then sliding up myself, knocking the book from the shelf with a pump, and a shout from downstairs, go to sleep. The cheek of it, I thought, one of their party ought to investigate, see possibilities up here. To lie down in our bed, pull the pillow over her head and ignore down there. Come on, Benji, let's go. We crept down the stairs, me and that Benji bear, and walked on tiptoe to the living room within. That vibrated the floor. I pulled open the door and shut Benji in.
Thank you, Jean. Next, could we have Cullum Ahern?
Hey everybody, this is my first time being here, so nice to meet you all. I didn't know Matthew, but I'm enjoying his poetry, so thanks for everyone for doing the readings. And this is a short poem of my own. I don't know, I suppose we can call the genre pragmatic poetry. It's inspired by Friedrich Nietzsche, and it's called Perspective. There are many ways to see, it's endless in complexity. This reality we know really isn't, 'tis but a show. All we have is our perspective, to make it good is our objective. In what way do you think of things, and what is the result that brings? Perhaps there is another way, a path more useful to try today. All we minds can do is try, and try again until we die. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Next, could we have Fergus Costello?
Could be described as a love story or maybe a prose poem. I heard that mentioned tonight. Could be. This is called Good Night by Fergus Costello. That's F-E-R-G-U-S. Not Fergal. It's way too many people get that wrong. Good night. Without a doubt, another time or place. No way would I make the same mistake of falling beyond rescue in love with you. First time I saw your pure divine, please be mine, only gorgeous goddess-like face. Not the best opening line, but bear with me. Somehow, I still don't know how, but anyhow. Somehow I said, hi, my name is Fergus, not Fergal. You laughed at my joke even though you didn't get it. You said your name was Jem, and like some exotic jewel, you bedazzled me. Is Jem short for Gemma or Jemima, I babbled. Thankfully, you laughed again. We both laughed together. Oh. We spent the afternoon by the river walking side by side, swapping small talk. Stopping only for coffee, later a bite to eat, and later still we lingered in the bar until closing time, sitting with eyes only for each other, still swapping small talk, sipping Corona beer, served ice cold with slices of lime. Around 1 o'clock I whispered in your ear, I love you. and taking a warm hand in mine, we meander back through the hot neon-lit city streets to a cosy little one-bedroom flat on the Lower East Side of downtown Bangkok, where later again came the classic unforgettable crying game moment when you unzipped your tight black leather skirt and with your drawers let it slip to the ground, which elicited from me my best ever Stephen Ray lost and confused look. And prompted me to produce my first ever impression, albeit not a very good one, of George Clooney staring at a goat. From the movie Men That Stared at a Goat. Even though I did not look remotely like George Clooney. And I wasn't staring at a goat. Dear God, Jem, I said. Does this mean that Jen may not be short for Gemma or Jemima? Does this mean that your name might not in fact be Jem, but your name might in fact be Jim? And you are not, as I thought, a whore with a vagina, but you are, God only knows, with no vagina. In the name of all that's holy, please, Jem, I pleaded. Jim, Gemma, Jemima, whatever your name is. Please, tell me I am hallucinating. Tell me anything you like. Tell me I am in fact George Clooney staring at a goat. But please do not tell me I'm standing up here in your flat staring at your total opposite of a vagina, which happens to be, dear God, standing up in front of me, staring back up at me with its baldy little head and its weeping, winking, squinty little eye. Relax, you said. No need, you be shy. Shy, excuse me. Shy does not come to within a million miles of describing how I'm feeling right now. Shy is something I sometimes feel before getting up at the Ovale on a Monday night to act up bollocks in front of a room full of strangers. But, Jim, Seamus, whatever your name is, I get over it. And I get on with it, but I don't know if I'll ever get over this. And there's no way am I ever getting it on with that. Listen, man, we really need to talk. And I'm not talking small talk, I'm talking big talk. We need to have a serious chat. The subject of our conversation is going to be that. Your total and utter lack of a twat. Listen, man, I'm sorry, it's over. Relax, you said again. No need you worry. Love will find a way tonight. For God, oh, for flip's sake, and nobody get my name right. That's it, man, it's over, I'm out of here. Good night, Seamus. Good night.
Thank you, Fergal. I mean, Fergal.
Right, all you spellers for sure. Right.
And Seamus. Thanks, Seamus.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Charles Clark.
Thank you. All right. Keep that on there. I'm not sure where to start, except to say that that loss, our friend, just something to do with film, and my poem has also got something to do with that, though my connections with film are very, very limited. I could almost say I once led a dinner service and some silver to a film produced in Cork. What about that? Ill-starred movies. We got Igor to do the script. Money was Dirk Malone, Frank was expert on banks, taxes, computers. New York was on the line. twice daily, casting Miss Tweedle. He wanted Redford, Miss Screep to play a simple village maiden. Did we shoot any of it? Some corny background stuff, our courtyards, skiers at Alphen, which was epic after all. Aspen, we enjoyed. Frank gave us all an opera hat, the kind with a lever. Good socialist hat, he said. Obscurely, we were as the restaurant. We had complete faith in the product.
Thank you very much, Charles. Our ultimate performer for this evening, to play us out, is Noel O'Connor. Bravo.
Well, I happened to be doing a gig down the road this evening, and I knew about tonight, so I said I might as well bring my guitar along. Because when Matthew's from Ireland for the gathering down there, I accompanied him a few times, doing improvised guitar behind him. And I have to say about him, you know, he was a great man, but most importantly, he was very kind with his talent, and he never used it as a weapon. And I thought it was very, I'd often meet him in UCC, and I'd stop talking to him, I'd maybe bore him some old poem I was writing, and he'd always have time for you, and that's a very kind, not all great people are like that sometimes, they have no patience, but he had patience for the, sometimes poets, like me. Anyway, in Fermion, I sang this song, and he got a kick out of it, so I'm going to sing it tonight. It's a song I wrote back in 96. I was in Longback for America, and I was playing down in Garrett Sound, and I was on the way home, and I missed the moving statue. I was in America during the 80s, and I was intrigued by it. And I stopped in Ballinspittle on the way home, a beautiful moonlit night, a late night, and I went up by the statue. I took out my guitar and I played Myself and the Blessed Virgin. And you know, and the statue didn't move. And I was so grateful the statue didn't move, I wrote a song in celebration. Because if it did move, I have a long history of drinking, alcohol abuse, and drug abuse. I probably wind up with sausage board. So it's the Balance Beatles song, and Matthew got a good kick out of it. He liked the subject matter, as so he was. There she sits in the moonlight, halo lights up to the sky. I'm just a passerby, ain't looking for salvation. Hey lady, don't dance for me, couldn't take the mystery. I'm just a passerby in the night. I don't need no miracle, I don't need no cure. Yes, there was times when I needed one. Hey lady, don't dance for me, I couldn't take the mystery. I'm just a passerby in the night. In the morning when the pilgrims come, sit around praying in the sun, looking for a sign or anything. Hey, they don't dance with me, couldn't take the mystery. I'm just a passerby in the night. just you and me. My guitar makes a trinity. Play the blues for you. Hey, lay low and dance with me. Couldn't take the mystery. I'm just a passerby in the night. Hey, lady, don't dance with me. Couldn't take the mystery. I'm just a passerby in the night.